I appreciate everyone being on the call tonight. This is Brian Todd, and most people know me as Perry Marshall's right-hand man, or maybe the shadow behind Perry Marshall, or Perry Marshall's co-author, or what have you. But we have just 60 minutes tonight, and I just want to cover what I think are some really important fundamentals for you and for me and for anyone who's trying to make Google AdWords work for them. As I understand it, pretty much every one of you on the call is a buyer and a reader of our definitive guide to Google AdWords. And before I go on, I'm going to mute everyone out so you can hear me a little better. Give me just a second.
All callers are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing star 6.
Very good. Hopefully you can hear me just fine. And so all of you should be buyers of the Definitive Guide to Google AdWords. And I've been giving a lot of thought over the last few weeks and months to how I can make it a lot easier on people just to implement all of the volumes of things that we actually teach in that book. Okay? It's not that, for most of you, it's not that you don't have access to good information that's going to make a difference in your business. Usually the issue is, if you're anything like me, you buy a book or you attend a seminar or a lecture at a seminar or something like that, and you're given a volume of really good actionable ideas that you know will work, and because there are so many of them, you just don't know what is actually the most important thing I could do here. And very often, you know, if you buy a book off the shelf and someone comes along and says, you know, let me tell you the single most important thing you can get out of that book, and it's right here on page 157, and everything else in the book pales in comparison to this one little piece of advice right there. If someone did that for you, for every book that you ever bought, you would suddenly find that making use of all the books that you bought would be really easy. And so what I want to do tonight is just make the fundamentals of how you make AdWords work much clearer and, more to the point, do whatever I can do in this hour's time to make it a little easier for you to take the few morsels of most important advice that Perry Marshall and I give you and just take those and make them much, much easier to actually implement. Okay? So here's what's going to happen. And again, the call's running 60 minutes. We're already 3 minutes and 15 seconds into it. And I'm going to close up as promptly as I can at 8 o'clock Central Time. So you can be on your way and you know, go off and do what you need to this evening or go back to your Google account and make some changes. But here's what's going to happen. First off, as I promised, I'm going to tell you what I consider to be the 7 mistakes that Google AdWords users make most often. Okay, the 7 mistakes they make most often, and what I think is much more important, how you can actually prevent them and how you can fix them if you feel like you've been making some of them already. Okay, the majority of the rest of the call is going to be Q&A. Okay, it's going to be open line, a chance for you to unmute yourself, chime in, and ask me any question on any AdWords topic. And I'm personally most interested in you asking me questions, just anything that's more fundamental to making AdWords work, because I feel like that would be the most helpful thing to other people on the call. But again, I'll take any question you want to throw at me, no matter how basic or complicated it is. And as I mentioned in the email, what's probably most important for me, or would be most helpful for me, would be if you could tell me what one simple question you've had the most difficult time finding the answer to in our definitive guide to Google AdWords, okay? The one question you've had the hardest time finding the answer to, preferably a simple one. And the other question, you know, that I hope to be able to give some input on the call is, what one way could I make it easier, clearer, simpler for you to implement what's in our definitive guide? okay? And I'll say more about that a little later. So I'm going to do the 7 mistakes that Google AdWords users make. The majority of the call is going to be question and answer time for you to chime in and tell me what it is you've been struggling with or what kind of things I could make clearer for you. Then I'm going to tell you what the next step is. Okay, if you have the definitive guide to Google AdWords and you want to implement but you're having a hard time, I'm going to tell you what exactly is the next step you can take. By the way, I'm also going to give you a very good deal on getting your own AdWords account looked at, critiqued, and improved, which I think would be a tremendous help to very many of you. At the very, very end of the call, I'm going to give you a link that will show you an actual real-life example of what a nearly picture-perfect Google AdWords ad group looks like, so that you can study it, implement all of its ideas. When you look at this thing, you'll find you could spend all day and all night looking through this thing and finding insights for things you could change in each one of your own ad groups, okay? And so at the very end of the call, I'm going to give you a link that'll show you what a picture-perfect or near-picture-perfect ad group actually looks like. I think that'd be really helpful to you, okay? So before I launch into the 7 mistakes, I just want you to listen on this call for really 2 important things. Number one, I'm probably going to be mentioning a lot of URLs, a lot of domain names of places you can go to look at this and look at that. I just want you to find one of them that you think would be the most helpful to you and just make sure you write it down. And you can probably ignore the others, but make sure you have at least one that you've written down and you're going to go and you're going to spend time looking at. The other thing, when someone spends a whole hour giving you lectures and tips and answering questions and covering all sorts of topics, you can get confused. So when I listen to a lecture, I always ask myself, okay, what are 3 simple tips that I can write down while this person is talking? And as soon as they're done talking, I can go and immediately implement them as soon as the call is done or as soon as the talk is done or as soon as I get home in front of my computer. So I just want you to have a pen and pencil ready and scribble down 3 tips that you can act on immediately. Whatever they are, it's entirely up to you. Okay? So let's launch into the 7 mistakes that Google AdWords advertisers make. Okay? We all make mistakes. These are all mistakes that I have made, that Perry Marshall has made. We've all learned the hard way, hopefully so that you don't have to learn the hard way. We're all mistake makers, and we're successful if we learn from the mistakes. So here are what I consider to be probably the 7 most major. And I'm going to count down from number 7 all the way down to number 1. Okay? Mistake number 7, this is actually very fundamental, a very basic beginning kind of mistake, but it's very important. And that's the mistake of wrong expectations. In other words, believing that AdWords is the best venue for promoting your product when maybe, just maybe, it actually isn't. Okay? It's always a possibility that Google AdWords is not the best venue for promoting your product. And so I just want you to be aware of that. Okay? It's entirely possible that people are not looking for you on Google. And so you want to go and get yourself where you can actually get in front of where people are looking for you or where people are having a conversation about the topic that you are able to answer, whatever it is. You know, I had a consultation some time back with a gentleman. This is kind of an interesting product. It's a gentleman who produces software for businesses, specifically software for IT departments for businesses. And one of the pieces of software he provides is something that, if you think about it, we could a lot of businesses could actually use this, and it's this. It's software that will identify when a particular person on a computer terminal is accessing pornography or pornographic images on the Internet. And it detects that that's happening, and it blocks them. Okay? There are a lot of businesses that could use that. The problem that he had was he and I went through his Google account, and we went through WordTracker and so on, and we tried to figure out what kind of keywords would people be typing in if they were actually looking for this? And we could not come up with a single one. Okay, like none, zero. Okay, so nobody was looking for him on Google, even though he has a product that is really helpful. So if that's the case, or if you suspect that that's the case, or you suspect that in addition to Google, there's probably going to be some other sources of traffic that are much better for you, what might those be? And that's this. In addition to Google search, of course, there's Google content targeting, also known as AdSense. There's Google site targeting, where instead of bidding on keywords, you bid to go show up on particular sites, and you can pay per click and you can pay per impression. There's also image ads, both on Google and on other search engines such as MSN and Yahoo and so on. There are banner ads. You can go on the internet and search anywhere that banner ads are offered and sold, and you can buy those. Banner ads have been around as long as the internet has been around, and they worked 10 years ago, and they work now. And you just need to find the right market for it. So it may well be that banner ads could really make a difference for you. E-zine ads, newsletter placement, people's email newsletters of certain businesses or maybe even certain gurus. You could buy space in an e-zine, buy a little thumbnail ad or an image ad or something like that in an e-zine that would go out to a targeted list of people, and you would then be able to get your message out to them, possibly much more effectively so than you could, just using Google AdWords. So e-zine ads and newspaper placement. You have your own online articles and blogs. Okay, if you don't have a blog, I encourage you to open one up. Affiliate promotions. There's print advertising of every imaginable kind, newspaper advertising, magazine advertising. There are trade magazines and specialty periodicals. There's direct mail of every kind. There's postcards. There's envelope mail. There's lumpy mail where people get large packages in the mail. There's even a gentleman named Mitch Carson who does very special kinds of lumpy mail where he'll send people entire objects. For example, he'll mail out to all of the prospects that you want him to do this to, he'll mail out a bunch of oars, as in like oars that you paddle a canoe with. And along with it is a letter that says, up the river without a paddle. That kind of lumpy mail kind of falls under direct mail. And joint ventures of any and every kind. You may find that another person's email list is much more responsive than any list you can come up with yourself, and that may well be true. So there are some people that make all of their money off of joint ventures. So all of this to say, some people have wrong expectations, and rethinking those expectations and going back to ask the question, is Google AdWords the best venue for promoting your product, is one of the most important questions you can ask. Okay? So that's number 7. Let's assume that Google is the most important venue right now you could be promoting your product on. Okay? And so let's go on to number 6. Majoring on the minors, the 6th most common mistake users make. Majoring on the minors. Okay? This is a fact. Well more than 80% of your clicks, probably more than 90%, probably more than 95% of your clicks are going to come from just 5%, 10% of your keywords. Okay? Again, as much as 95% of your clicks and your good traffic is going to come from 5%, 10% or less of your keywords. All right? So you focus your time and your energy on what really matters and what brings you the biggest return on investment. That is so important. One of the reasons I find people get hung up on making simple changes in their Google AdWords account is because they're worried about all the amount of time they're going to have to spend doing peel and stick and doing other things to multiple keywords, when if I point out to them, you could just go through your account and you could identify just three keywords that you're going to make changes to, and you're just going to make the changes to those three, and you're not going to worry about any of the rest. And the three that you choose will be the keywords that have gotten the most impressions or they're going to be the keywords that have gotten the most clicks, or they're going to be the keywords that have gotten the most conversions for you. Either one, doesn't matter how big your account is, whether you have 100 keywords or 10,000 keywords or 100,000 keywords, you could pick three and just work on those, and it would potentially make a substantial difference in your business. Okay? So maybe it's three, maybe it's five. You ask, what are the five or what are the three most searched on keywords? And you go and you spend the next 7 days just making those work, and you ignore the rest, okay? That is something you could do because, again, 95% of your clicks will come from 5% of your keywords. Don't worry about the keywords that are responsible for only 2% of your traffic. Worry about the keywords that are responsible for 10, 20, 30, 40, 70, 80% of your traffic, okay? So number seven was wrong expectations. Number six is majoring on the minors. Number five is mixing up content-targeted traffic with Google traffic, okay? My recommendation up front is this. Google gives you two sources of traffic. There is Google Search, where people go to google.com and they search on your particular topic. And then there is Google's content network, where Google shows your ads on other sites throughout the internet. Okay, my recommendation is always this. Go into your campaign settings and turn off the content network traffic initially. You'll probably turn it on later, but just deal with Google Search up front, because that alone will make your life much, much simpler. Okay, here's a little factoid for you. If you have Google Search turned on and you have the content network turned on as well, when you go into your ad groups and you look at the ads that you're running and try to see the click-through rate, number of impressions, conversion rate, and so on, if you have the content network traffic turned on, that is going to be included in those reports where you're looking at your ads. And it's going to skew the numbers that you have showing for how those ads are actually performing. If you turn off the content network, then all you'll see is the results of those ads that you're running just as they show on Google Search. And that'll clean up your data considerably and give you a much sounder basis to make important judgments about what you're going to do with ad copy, what you're going to do with keywords, and so on. Okay? So later on, you can create a separate campaign that's content only. And in some of our material, particularly our AdWords Black Belt or Ultra Advanced Guide, we tell you how to do that. But essentially, upfront, initially, turn off the content network and just see how you're doing on Google.com by itself. Okay? Because eventually you'll be able to turn on that traffic and test it to see whether the content traffic is better quality, worse quality, or the same value as your regular Google traffic. But my recommendation is deal with search first. Okay? So that was number five. Mistake number five, mixing up content-targeted traffic with Google traffic. Okay? Mistake number four is not tracking conversions and not running reports, okay? Google makes it very, very simple for you to track and find out how many people have come to your site and made a purchase or opted into your newsletter or signed up for something on your site. They make it very simple. You go into your Google account and you click on conversion tracking in the green bar up at the top, and you tell Google what exactly you're going to be tracking, and then they turn around and they give you some code, some kind of JavaScript that you can just stick on some page on your site that only buyers or only signups will ever land on. Okay? I just see so many accounts with people initially where they haven't even tried to do this yet, and they certainly could. Okay? So you start tracking conversions, that gives you a whole new dimension of very important information related to how you're actually performing on Google. Okay? So track conversions, trim out the fat, cut your costs, find out your value per visitor or your value per opt-in, learn which keywords are converting, learn which ads are converting for you and which are not. Okay? Running reports is the other thing you can do. Up at the top tab in your Google account is a little tab called Reports, and you can click on that, and you can just have Google automatically run just a report on any aspect of your Google campaign, okay? And once you've run a report, you can have Google convert it into like a Microsoft Excel file so that you can take it, open it in Excel, look it over, and make some important decisions about your account, okay? Use the reports feature because it's very powerful. And here's one kind of report you may or may not know exists, okay? If you are running traffic on the content network, go to reports. And one of the options at the very bottom for reports that you can run is a report called a placement report. Okay? If you are in the reports section and then you search on help and type in placement report, it'll show you exactly what you need to do in order to find out this, to find out what sites on the internet Google has been showing your ads on. Okay? And if you are tracking conversions, then you can tell two things right away. Number one, what sites has Google been showing your ads on that you haven't been getting any clicks? Once you've figured that out, you can say, oh, this site and this site and this site and this site I've been showing ads on, they never get me any clicks. I'm going to tell Google to exclude those, and now your click-through rate goes up. Okay? More importantly, you can find sites that Google has been showing your Google ads on that have been giving you no conversions, but you have been paying for clicks, okay? Perry Marshall and I discovered sometime, it was either last summer or last fall, that Google had been showing our ads on MySpace.com, okay? And one month we got like 58 million impressions on MySpace, and of course our click-through rate on the content network tanked. And for the clicks that we did get from MySpace, none of them converted. So we just told Google, hey, stop showing us on MySpace. Google, stop showing us on MySpace. And suddenly our cost per conversion went way down. Our spend went way down. Click-through rate went way up. And we had just saved ourselves a tremendous amount of money. Okay, so be aware of that. So that's four. Number seven, let me review these. Number seven was wrong expectations. Number six, majoring on the minors. Number five, mixing up content-targeted traffic with Google traffic. Number four, not tracking conversions or running reports. Number three is not split testing. Okay? All successful direct marketing has worked on the principle of split testing for 150 years. Okay? It's the secret to better ads, to more customers, to lower costs, and to bigger profits. Okay? I'd encourage you to go to this URL and take a quick look at it. It's perrymarshall.com/bootcamp/howie.htm. Howie is H-O-W-I-E. perrymarshall.com/bootcamp/howie.htm. Howie Jacobson, he coaches with us, and he's the author of the book AdWords for Dummies. And he ran a split test over the course of a year, year and a half, with the ads that are shown on this page I just referred you to. He ran split tests for a good long time and got his click-through rate from less than 1%, well above 2-2.5%, just slowly, systematically, over time, split testing. Okay, and this principle works with Google ads. This principle works with landing pages, shopping cart forms, everything. You can slowly, systematically make incremental changes over time that will really add up to more profit for you in the long run. Okay, so mistake number three was not split testing. Mistake number two is overlooking the display URL. Okay, the display URL is the web address for your site that shows up in your actual Google ad. Okay, and you may not know it, but you can split test display URLs, and it makes a huge difference to your click-through rate and to your conversion rate. So So one of the keys is, have you really chosen the best name for your website, at least the best name for a particular set of keywords that you're sending there? Because the display URL is the second most noticeable part of your ad. You can try capitalizing it. You can try using subdomains. You can try using additional subdirectories in your URL. You can also go to GoDaddy.com and buy as many as 10 domain names for $8, $9 each, and you can test variations on domain names, okay? And here's what you find. Here's what we have consistently find for people that test very different domain names. Suppose you test 10 of them. You will find that the best performing of the 10 domain names, the single best performing domain name of the 10 will outperform the worst by a factor of 3 to 1. Okay? The best will outperform the worst by a factor of 3 to 1. And it is entirely possible that just by changing the domain name that you're using in your Google ad, you could increase your click-through rate by a factor of 300%. You could potentially do that. Okay? If you want more information on how to do this, then jot down this URL, perrymarshall.com/adwords/domains.html. Okay? It's a little tiny little bit of complexity to testing domain names, but that's an article there that I wrote that will show you how to do that. perrymarshall.com/adwords/domains.html. Okay? So, the third biggest mistake was not split testing. The second biggest mistake was overlooking the display URL. The single biggest mistake Google AdWords users make is not doing peel and stick. Okay? Peel and stick is something we teach in the Definitive Guide to Google AdWords, and the principle of it is this. In most cases, you get a better click-through rate when the keyword that you're bidding on shows up in the headline of your ad, okay? You get a better click-through rate when the keyword that you're bidding on shows up in the headline of your ad, most of the time, all right? And so here's how you do peel and stick. You go and you open one of your ad groups, and you look for this. You want to find keywords in the list, in that ad group, that, number one, get a significant amount of traffic, or could get a significant amount of traffic, and, number two, are also getting a click-through rate of less than 1%. Okay? Anything that gets a significant amount of traffic, or should get a significant amount of traffic, and is also getting a click-through rate of less, significantly less than 1%, is a candidate for doing peel and stick. So what you do is you take that keyword, you pause the underperforming keyword in its current ad group, you just pause it, and then you go and you create a totally new ad group, you insert the keyword into the ad group, and you write two ads, both of which use the keyword in the headline of the ad. Okay? One customer we had used this last year, and he took his business from $10,000 a month to $50,000 a month. Okay? That's not an exaggeration. People tell us all the time that this is the single most important concept that they learn in the Definitive Guide to Google AdWords. Peel and stick. Okay? It gets you a lower minimum bid. It gets you a higher click-through rate. It gets you more conversions, too. And you can do peel and stick just as effectively with landing pages as you can with Google Ads. Okay? Peel and stick. If there's nothing else you learn from our Definitive Guide to Google AdWords, it's that one thing, peel and stick. So, seven mistakes. Number seven, wrong expectations. Number six, majoring on the minors. Number five, mixing up content-targeted traffic with Google traffic. Number four, not tracking conversions and not running reports. Number three, not split testing. Number two, overlooking the display URL. And number one, not doing peel and stick. Okay? We are right at about 29 minutes here, so I'm going to unmute the group, and any of you that has questions about anything I've said or any other questions you want to ask, you can do that. Give me just a second and let me unmute everyone.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Okay. We are on. Again, if you have some kind of simple question, about what you've had the most difficult time finding answers to in the definitive guide, or if there's some way that you think I could make it easier, clearer, simpler for you to implement what's in the definitive guide, let me know. Any question is fair game now. We've got about 25 minutes, and so the floor is yours. Who would like to go first?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Who is this?
Hi, my name's Joe.
Hi, Joe. Where are you at? Where are you located?
I'm located in Detroit, Michigan.
Very good. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah. Okay, I've got two what I think are basic questions.
Mm-hmm.
One is I'm just getting started on AdWords. I've just been my first campaign. It seems to be going fairly well.
Good.
But I did have a lot of trouble with the display URL.
Okay.
I think there may be some new policy guidelines that AdWords has.
Okay.
Where basically what they're saying is they would like your destination URL to be identical to your display URL. So I'm a little confused on this idea of, you know, multiple display URLs, because the conversations that I had with them, they were very clear that redirects are almost never permitted.
Okay. Redirects, that is right. Redirects are almost never permitted. Okay, and so some of the answer to your question, Joe, is it gets a little bit technical, and it involves something called domain aliasing. Okay, you don't need to be intimidated by that. Again, if you go to perrymarshall.com/AdWords/domains.htm, that will show you a way to set up new and different domain names that you buy in such a way that they are not redirects and that Google will not and cannot penalize you for them. Okay?
Okay, that would be great. I'll do that.
Yeah. Now, just for everyone's sake, and, you know, Joe, this should go right along with what Google told you. If you're going to get past Google's editorial policy, this has to be true. Whatever domain name, that's, you know, the part of the name that goes right before the .com or the .net or the .org in your web address, whatever the domain name is in your display URL, it has to be the exact same domain that you have specified in your destination URL.
Right.
Okay. They both have to be the same thing. The only exception to that I know of that Google will allow, the only exception that they always allow, is that if you happen to be using some kind of third-party tracking software, like ClickTrax or HyperTracker or something like that. If you're tracking your ads, Google will let you put one of those tracking links in your destination URL, as long as you end up on the same domain as the one that's shown in your actual Google ad. Okay? So
yep, okay.
That is very is that consistent with what Google told you?
Yeah, actually it is. It's actually very consistent. I'll go to the site, and I'm interested in seeing some of the ideas there. And then if you could, one other basic question.
Yeah.
This biggest mistake, not doing peel and stick, and I immediately went to peel and stick as part of just doing the first campaign because it just seemed to, everyone seemed to be recommending it.
Mm-hmm.
But I missed the last half. If you have a keyword that should be performing but doesn't seem to be performing, take that single keyword and create a new ad group? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Now, one of the key rules of thumb is that keyword not already appearing in the headline of your current ad? Okay. Or is the ad, like, the, you know, lines 2 and 3 of the ad, are they about something? Do they have some message that doesn't quite fit what that keyword is about? If any of that is true, then you want to do peel and stick. And so if I understand your question is, do I create a new ad group? And
yeah.
And the answer is yes. Okay.
Oh.
You just go and you create a new ad group. Again, you stick the keyword in there. You write 2 ads. If at all possible, use the keyword in the headline of the ad. And that alone should make a very significant difference in your click-through rate. Okay?
Okay. Oh, that actually makes sense. Okay, great. I'm all set. Thank you.
All right, very good. Who else has some questions for me about things you read? Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's Steve Galvin from Perth, Western Australia.
Okay, I'm gonna do something for you. Give me just a second. There's a little background noise, so I'm gonna mute everybody out. And if you hit *6, then you can unmute yourself, and you'll have the floor to yourself. Give me just a second here.
All callers are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing *6.
Okay. Okay, all callers are muted, and if you want to unmute yourself, just press *6, and you can come back on the line.
Have you got me there?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, yeah, Brian. Yeah, look, my name's Steve Galvin. I'm in Perth, WA.
Yes.
I'm just starting out of, I actually bought one of Jenny Armato's web businesses.
Okay.
Business packages. I'm just about to do my first campaign, but as I went into Google, I got a bit confused. Everybody talks about these big lists. I come up with a big list. I'm doing one on headaches.
Okay.
Now, I come up with this big list. Now, when I went and pasted that into Google, it recommended that I should keep the list smaller than 20.
Hmm. Okay. And by list, you mean lists of keywords, right?
List of keywords, yeah.
Okay. So, like, how many did you go and put in your particular ad group?
I probably had about 80 or so.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, technically you could have up to 500, but you don't need that. Google, okay, there are two aspects to having a good long list of keywords. Keywords are very important. Basically speaking, the more keywords you have, the better off you're going to be. And that's just universally true across the board, as long as they're actually keywords of actual people who are looking for what you actually sell. Okay? So, yes, you do need a long list of keywords, and quite honestly, 80 is probably not enough. You may need 2 to 3 times that many. The problem is when you try to stick all 80 of those keywords into one single ad group. Okay, is that what you did? And Google?
Yeah.
Okay. Google's little rule of thumb is actually fairly helpful there. You know, their view is, generally speaking, across the board in all markets, everywhere, if you have more than 20 or 30 or 40 keywords in an ad group, odds are you've got some keywords in that list that belong in another ad group with another ad entirely. Okay? And so that actually goes right along with what I was saying about peel and stick. And again, at the end of the call, I'm going to show you, give you a link to like the picture-perfect ad group, so you can go and study that and take a look at how the keywords are matched with the ads. Very important. Again, the rule of thumb to start with is, are there keywords in this list? You know, let's say you wrote one ad or you wrote two ads that were nearly identical, and you just ask yourself, for every keyword that is in this list, are there any keywords that do not actually appear in the headline of the ad? And there may be several. And if so, and you know, if you know that those are keywords that are going to generate traffic for you, then you pause them in the current ad group, put them into a new ad group, and write an ad that does use those keywords in the headline. So in the end, you know, let's say you had 200 keywords, you may end up with 20 different ad groups, all of which have no more than 10 keywords each. That's perfectly fine. But the total number of keywords you have is 200, and that's a really good benchmark. It's a really good place to start. Have I answered your question?
Yeah, kind of. So I'd write like 20 different ad groups with a split ad for each one for all those keywords to separate those keywords.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
Right, okay. Just one other question.
Uh-huh.
When I typed in headache, I thought it would be a really general word. And I understand the words like sports and that are so general, you know, because it relates to 100 different sports.
Okay.
Well, when you type in headache, you know, I could understand somebody typing in headache because that's what they've got, a headache. They're looking for a headache or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when I type, and Google says that is a general word, but when I type in headache and the misspelling headache, like separate the two, like in head and then ache,
mm-hmm.
you know, I only get three advertisers on the page. So even though it is a general word, would it still be a good word to use? If the advertising site is not full up?
Yeah.
Or should I just put it in square brackets, maybe?
So. Well, you know, if it's not full of advertisers, then you should be able to bid very little money and use the keyword. I would never discourage you from bidding on a term like that. You just want to watch those clicks that come in and find out are these people that eventually turn into buyers or not? Or are they really just, you know, 100 different clicks from 100 completely different people that I really can't do anything with? Now, it sounds like, are you just bidding in Australia or are you bidding everywhere?
I was going to bid in English-speaking countries, America, Australia, and England, yeah.
Okay. Now, this could potentially be a more advanced topic, but I might recommend that you, as you're getting started out, you create separate campaigns, one for Australia traffic, or one for all non-U.S. traffic, and another that is just U.S. traffic. And both will have the same keywords and the same ads and everything, but you'll discover that click prices are different, click-through rates are different, volumes of traffic are different depending on whether you're in the U.S. or outside the U.S. And so,
right, okay.
So just a little tip for you there. Otherwise, when you look at your results, you may not know that you're on page 1 in Australia, but page 10 in the U.S. Whereas if you create separate campaigns, then you can see that that's actually happening, if it is happening.
I understand.
Does that
completely.
Help?
Thank you very much. Oh. Yeah, it does very much. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, very good. Good. We're at minute 42. Who has a basic question? Again, I've muted pretty much everyone out, so if you just press *6, then you should be able to come back in and talk.
Yeah, it's Greg in Australia.
Let's take the gentleman in Australia.
Thank you. Yeah, it's Greg here. I'm quite new to this. I've just set up my first campaign around something that there's a lot of traffic, and that's work from home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've gone through, got fairly bogged down myself when I started with the keywords, but I think I've got that reasonably sussed out now.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've got about 560 or 540 keywords, and that's with negative words, etc. From what I've heard, most of them, most of the words I'm bidding are work from home or have that inside them.
Okay.
And my ads reflect that, but I definitely, with a list that long, I can go back through and have a look and possibly set up some other ad groups and other ad campaigns.
Okay.
But I've only been running it for about a day or two now,
mm-hmm.
and I was just looking for the first couple of steps to, I've been getting, you know, probably got 120-something impressions, and that's just Australia, New Zealand.
Okay.
But I'm looking at just the next couple of steps for me to, you know, to increase that and get my positioning more. Is that just a matter of bidding more, or what could you suggest for me as my next couple of steps?
Okay.
To get that.
So with a keyword line, let's say a keyword is work from home, okay, and you're bidding in Australia and you're bidding in New Zealand, is that right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Off the top of your head, I don't know if you have your Google account open right now, but off the top of your head, can you tell me what positions you've been showing up in on the page?
I'm averaging It says on there I'm averaging 11.9.
Okay, okay. Then what I do now, is that 11.9 for like all of your keywords average across the board, or is for that just one of the keywords that you picked out to tell me about?
That's across the board. Some of it's 47, 10.7, 2, 7.5.
Okay. Here's a little trick I recommend that, yeah, it's not a trick. It's just a different way to look at your data that'll identify what's really important. One of the columns, of course, you have is your average position. So what I would do is I would rank all of your keywords in ascending order or descending order according to average position. And you do that just by clicking on the word average position, you know, up at the top column. Okay, that'll rank everything according, you know, either starting from the lowest to the best or in reverse. Either one is fine. And I want you to look at the end of the list where it shows the keywords that are in the worst positions, okay, like position 17 and 25 and 36 and 45 and lower, okay? You take the top four or five or the top 10 of those keywords alone, and you already know, you know several things about those keywords. You know that because they're in such low positions for the amount that you're bidding on them, you know that they are highly, highly competitive, okay? You know they're going to be expensive, but you know that if you can get shown on the first page of search results, there is going to be a tremendous amount of traffic there available to you, okay? And so just starting with those, I would, if you're intimidated or you're worried about running out of budget, I would, let's say you've got 10 of them, I would pick three, okay? The three keywords that are in the absolute worst positions, you know, page four, page five, page six, something like that. And I would double or triple their bid you know, make a little note in your log that you did it today, and then go back 24 hours from now, tomorrow, and check just the previous 24 hours and see with the new bid what positions you ended up on those keywords. And keep doing this until you get on page one. Okay, page one is any position of roughly 10 or better. Okay? And so you do that with, you just pick three, you do that, and you figure out how much am I actually going to have to bid to get on page one. And once you're on page one, that's when the huge volume of traffic is really going to kick in for you. Does that make sense?
It does. So when we're looking at average position, I've just put them in ascending order, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
When it's position two, is that page two?
No. Position two means page one of search results, the second ad from the top.
Okay.
So position 11 would be page one of search results and the 11th ad down at the very bottom.
I understand.
Or it may be page two. And so there's this huge threshold that you cross over when you move from, say, average position 12 up to average position 9 or 8, that's a huge threshold. And once you go over that, you should see a big bump in your traffic. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, sure does. So I've got, for instance, I've got three here, 84, 77, and 47. They're the bottom.
Oh, wow.
Bottom three.
Yep.
So would you suggest to work on those ones?
Yep, just work on those because the fact that it's in position 84 means it's extremely competitive and there's a lot of money that'll go to the winners.
Gotcha.
Okay. And yep. Of course it's up to you, you know, there are certainly less competitive keywords you can go after. It's just it's a function of what you're comfortable with and how much your budget is.
Sure. Okay then. Thank you very much.
Very good. All right. If we're at minute 49, so if you have another question, hit star 6.
Troy.
I'd be glad to answer it. Go ahead.
This is Larry in Scottsdale.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Troy.
Troy, all right.
Hi. I had a quick question for you. When you're kind of following on to what the gentleman just said, when you're bidding on something that is highly, highly competitive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if you just have any advice on, you know, what areas that you can target to try to get some success with that, where you're not going to be able to compete with the big guys on the budget, but maybe ways of picking up some of the traffic that they're leaving behind, that you know, some way to get into that. I'm wondering what advice you might have.
Okay. That's a good question, and there's so many different answers to that. One of the things you can do is pick a geographic area, such as New York or Los Angeles or Houston or something like that. You can pick a geographic area and just focus on that. Another thing you can do, Google has a feature called day parting, that will let you pick a time of the day that you're going to show your ads, or a day of the week that you're going to show your ads. That's in your campaign settings. You know, Google calls it ad scheduling. That's what it is. So if you go into your campaign settings and look at ad scheduling, then you can just set your ads to show only on Tuesdays and Thursdays, or set your ads only to show every day, you know, from noon to 1, or from 7 p.m. to midnight, or what have you. Just with that advice alone, probably the single most important thing you can do is make sure you have conversion tracking set up so that you know exactly how that traffic is converting. Because one of the things you want to know that all of the smartest competitors in a market know, one of the things you want to know is, where am I getting the best traffic from in terms of geographic location? And where am I getting the worst traffic in terms of traffic that wastes my money? When am I getting the best traffic, and when am I paying for the worst traffic? Okay? When you know both of those, that can be pretty powerful in itself. And so with conversion tracking, you can figure that out. Now, I hope this advice doesn't sound too intimidating to you, but it's very specific to just figuring out the day parting thing and the ad scheduling thing. Take an ad group or a campaign, and you just want to find out, for example, does my best traffic come during the day, or does it come at night? Okay, do I convert better in the day? Do I convert better at night? And what you do is you create a duplicate campaign of the campaign you're running, and in one of the campaigns you set your ads to show from, say, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. In the other campaign, identical ads, identical keywords, everything. In the other campaign, you set it to show from 9 p.m. all the way through to 9 a.m. only. Okay, and you just run them side by side, and so one will run during the day and the other will run at night, and you watch your conversions and you just ask the question, okay, which one do I convert better? And if you want to split each of those in half and create four, then you could do that too. But following that kind of approach will at least start to identify for you, okay, where could I potentially be losing the most money, both in terms of time, in terms of geographic location, and so on. And just following that alone will allow you to cut out a lot of your losses and make it much more viable for you to compete in a really competitive niche. Does that get you started in some directions you can go look at?
Yeah, those are a couple of real good ideas. Just trying to break into something that is a product that's very popular, and so it just has pages and pages of people out there. So trying to find some ways to kind of break into it a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. You always have a choice where you can run your budget. You just keep your budget to a certain limit and only bid certain times of the day or certain times of the week. Only bid on certain keywords, and you just may find out of a list of 10 really highly trafficked keywords, you may find that there are only two or three or four of them that really convert for you, and the rest are just big money wasters. Perry and I always follow the 80-20 rule as we're looking at ad groups and campaigns and so on, and we're always going through lists and saying, okay, what is the bottom 10% or the bottom 20% of keywords in this list, you know, where I'm spending the most and losing the most money by doing so? And if you just ask that question of every ad group and every campaign you have and turn off the keywords where you're losing the most money, you'll be surprised at how much it saves you. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, very good. Well,
Hey, this is Lonnie.
Yes, Lonnie.
Hey, very quickly,
mm-hmm.
Today's my first day. I just got the program.
All right, good.
And I want to tell you very quickly that this was extremely informative to me, even though I haven't even reviewed the program
okay.
yet. So my question to you is, uh-huh. am I going to get another email notification when another opportunity like this one comes around?
Absolutely. If you know, we can do these calls a lot more often. I was considering doing these maybe just a few times a year, but we can do them more often than that if there's enough demand for them. If you want to, I'm trying to think the best thing for you to make sure you get included. Why don't you send me an email at Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, at perrymarshall.com, and I will make sure that you're included in the next blast. How does that sound?
That's perfect.
Okay.
This was outstanding. I learned a lot, and I've got a lot to learn. I just want to thank you for taking the time to do
good.
This for us, guys.
Well, Lonnie, I appreciate it. We just got
to know that, Brian. It was very helpful.
Okay. Good. Well, you know, I'm glad to hear that, and I would be thrilled to do more of these calls in the future if there's enough interest in them. Let me.
Oh, there is. Beautiful stuff.
Good. So that you guys can get off the call and go implement what you want to implement or enjoy a good evening. I just want to run through some of the things that I have for you. First off, the next step that you can take. In terms of getting more help for your Google campaigns, okay? I'm offering a special deal that is only to people who are listening in on this call, all right? Here's what I'm going to provide you. I want to provide you a coupon that will give you my own 20-minute personal critique of your Google AdWords account, okay? I want to do that as part of a deal and really not charge you for it. Here's the deal. My consulting time runs at, for 1 hour of my consulting time, it's $399. I'm not making that up. That is what I actually charge. And if you go to a page on our site, you'll see that that is, in fact, the consulting rate that I have. But I would like to do for you an individual 20-minute personal critique of your Google AdWords account. If you will try out our Mastermind Club, Perry Marshall's and my Mastermind Club, for $99 a month, okay? Mastermind is a club that provides a number of very good services. When you join up, you get an armful of CDs, DVDs, helpful tools on Google marketing, etc. You get a copy of our Ultra Advanced Google AdWords course. Every month we have a 2-hour open line call-in with Perry and me on the latest topics, so you can ask questions just like you asked me now. And you get access to our private forum that is other AdWords users who are just like you. Some of them are beginning and some of them are advanced. Okay, Mastermind Club, we've been offering this for years. It's $99 a month. That's standard. Okay, if you're on the call, I would like to give you the opportunity to join the Mastermind Club just to try it out, get all the freebies and so on, and get an additional 20-minute personal critique of your Google AdWords account that I will personally do for you, okay? And that is no additional charge. It's the same price as you would just get regularly for joining Mastermind. It's a value of $133 plus the $99 a month that Mastermind is, and I'm just giving that to you for the $99, okay? If you're interested in that and you want a personal critique, just go to this address, perrymarshall.com/mastermind/bootcamp.htm. Again, that's perrymarshall.com/mastermind/bootcamp.htm. You can sign up, you can get the critique, and of course you can join the Mastermind Club, check it out, get some of the freebies, see how the forum works for you, and so on. I think just a very valuable deal there. The second thing available to you is I'm available all the time for private 30-minute telephone consultations. And this is an actual, not just a critique, but it's an actual conversation between you and me. I go into your Google AdWords account with you. I help you make specific actionable changes, things you can improve right away, ways that you can improve your click-through rate, ways you can improve the quality of your traffic, ways you can improve the converting of your traffic, and so on. And that is at my regular consulting rate. And if you'd like to sign up for that, I'd love to talk with you. You can go to perrymarshall.com/Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, perrymarshall.com/Brian. So again, if you want the free 20-minute consult the free 20-minute consulting coupon that goes along with joining the Mastermind Club, that's at perrymarshall.com/mastermind/bootcamp.htm. If you would like a one-on-one 30-minute or 60-minute consultation with me, you can visit perrymarshall.com/Brian, B-R-Y-A-N. Okay, the very last thing that I promised you guys I'd give you is an example of the perfect ad group and exactly what it looks like. This is something you can spend all night studying and implementing what you see there, and I know it'll be helpful to you. That is at perrymarshall.com/AdWords/IdealAdGroup.htm. Again, perrymarshall.com/AdWords/IdealAdGroup.htm. Go click on that, take a look at it, download it, copy it, take screenshots of it, whatever you want to do, and I think you'll find it very helpful in terms of seeing what bid prices ought to be, what ads ought to look like, what positions on the page ought to be, exact match, broad match, phrase match, the relationship between keywords and the headlines of the ads and so on, all of that you'll be able to see. So I appreciate you all being on the call. We're 2 minutes over, and so I'm going to let you go. But again, thank you so much for being on the call. Thanks for your good words and your good questions, and I look forward to you guys talking to you guys again soon.
Thanks, Brian.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Hey, please do more of the calls. Thank you.
All right. We'll do that. Goodbye. Yeah.